This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
This is Chris Gunty, associate publisher and editor of the Catholic Review. Advent starts today, November 30th, and we have two guests today to help us get into the reason for the season. In our second segment, we're going to talk with an author who tells the story of St. Nicholas, but our first guest is a teacher who's going to share some thoughts on Advent. Sister Audrey Frances Moran is an Oblate Sister of St. Francis de Sales, who teaches middle school Spanish and fourth grade religion at Immaculate Heart of Mary in Towson, Maryland, where she received the Teacher of the Year Award in 2024. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
She grew up in a family that moved around a lot because when she was young, her father worked for the U.S. State Department. So though she was born in New York, she has lived in Hong Kong, Cameroon, Benin, France, and the United States. She came to know the Lord and his love for her when she was a freshman at Mary Washington College in Virginia. And that's where she also met the Oblate Sisters, eventually professing her vows in 2013. Welcome to the show, Sister Audrey Frances.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. How do you describe Advent to your students?
So I like to start by asking them what they're familiar with. And so since I teach fourth grade religion, they're very familiar with Advent calendars with chocolate.
Yes.
And they've taught me that Advent calendars now also can come with Pokemon cards.
Okay.
And Legos. And so this is all highly exciting.
Yes, there are also Advent calendars now for adults with cheeses and wine and beer and all sorts of stuff, which I think is not quite the spirit of the season.
Well, I told them that could help with joyful and expectant waiting.
Yes. I also saw a post one time that said, according to my Advent calendar, it's already December 23rd. You know, so, and that was like on December 1st. So it was like, but how then, once you hear from them about that, how do you respond? What do you tell them?
Of course, we'll also talk about, so what's the reason? Why do we have the Advent calendars and the other things that they can name and that we're familiar with, like Advent wreaths and the things that they see when we go to church, then all of that. Why? And they can say with some prompting, we're preparing. Okay, preparing for what? We're preparing for Christmas. And you can actually go, I think, pretty deep even with children there. So if we're preparing for Jesus's coming, well, didn't he come already? And they say, oh, yes, he did. He was born quite a long time ago, wasn't he? Yes. So why are we preparing now? Today, actually, we were talking about it, even though as we're recording this, it's a little earlier. I was trying to talk with them before I won't see them again a while coming up to Thanksgiving break. The church's teachings here are actually, I think, very, very beautiful. Yes, we're celebrating that Jesus came that one time in the past when he came at Christmas. Fun fact there, there's some research that shows that it's entirely possible that the year that he came was 2 years before zero.
Yes.
And so anyway, I always thought that was kind of funny. But he came that one time. But then also, of course, we want to welcome him in a very intentional way to truly come again and come again and again, but come in a special way on Christmas Day into our lives, of course. And so into our hearts, into our souls. And so what does that mean for each of us, you know, can look a little different. And then I don't know how much your listeners already are familiar with that the Advent season is also connects us to the future coming of Christ.
Right.
That expecting, waiting, right?
Right.
That we're still In this time before the last judgment, and we don't know when that'll be. And that's not something that we're meant to be afraid of, because it's the Lord who's coming, the Lord that we know is good and loves us.
Right.
Then so it's that waiting for that end of our story and that bringing of things into eternity, which as adults too, we can definitely use for perspective, right? Like,
Right.
oh, this is so. If I'm preparing for Christmas too, I'm actually also preparing for the end,
Yeah.
in a way. And I'm preparing for, well, of course, our own personal end is something that can help us also have a healthy perspective.
It's that idea that the kingdom of God is now and not yet. It's
Exactly.
coming. It's coming. You've lived in places around the world. It was fascinating to read that in your bio. And are some Advent and Christmas traditions that you've seen in other places especially inspiring to you?
I did enjoy some Christmas practices, like Epiphany practices in France, involving the cake. There's a cake with a little fib in it, we call it.
Neat. So, what are some good practices for families to do in this season as we prepare for Christmas?
Oh, so there's so much. In a quick search on things that I could send out to our school families, I came across, I was searching for Catholic Advent calendars, and there are some that are really geared towards families, and that have suggestions for the children of different ways that they can prepare their hearts, such as showing kindness to people as they walk down the hallway in the school, smiling at people. And so and helping mom or dad with something that particular day, in terms of children's, perspectives.
Doesn't have to be big, right? It can be a very simple thing, right?
Right. Absolutely.
When I was growing up, we had a manger on top of the TV. This is when TVs were these big, huge console things. And so the manger was on top of the TV, and there was a bed of straw next to it. And for each day that we, during Advent, that we had done a good deed or done something kind, we could put a piece of straw in the manger so that by the time Jesus came on Christmas Eve, he would have a nice soft bed. Now there were 10 of us, so there was a good
Wow.
chance that Jesus would have a nice soft bed, but it was up to us to make sure he had a nice soft bed. So that was good. And I guess you're talking to your children and your families about having making sure they do an Advent wreath and pray before meals with that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you can buy Advent wreaths, so you can also do DIY ones with children. That can be a lot of fun. You can buy calendars, but again, you can find suggestions for how to make your own and put in your own like favorite ideas of things you would want to do during the Advent season. Some suggestions I saw were really geared towards helping families slow down, because of course we have all of these fun things in our in the society around us leading up to Christmas. So how do we find a balance between being part of the some of the joyful activities that are leading towards Christmas, but also having times where we're doing having an intentional Advent, I guess, where we're making it prayerful in a way that is meaningful to us.
So a balance between busyness and stillness.
Thank you. Yes.
Good. Are there some things that you've learned that adults don't know about Advent that you'd like them to learn?
So, one interesting thing I've heard said a number of times was that Advent is like a quote unquote little Lent. But then I've since learned that there's more nuance to it than that. So, when I heard the little Lent thing, I was told that means Advent has is kind of penitential, but then I've since learned that technically for the church, this is not a penitential season, but there are some penitential practices that are encouraged. So while it's not listed as like one of the 40 days of Lent or one of the Fridays that are penitential, on the other hand, it's good to have some a bit of self-discipline during this season as part of our preparation. And we can think of it as being in union with the thousands of years of waiting for the Messiah the first time, that there was a discipline involved in that. And that also, of course, any kind of fasting can help us be more spiritually focused, right?
Sure.
Take the focus off of just gratifying our whatever different kinds of preferences, sometimes even needs, right? To help make a little space where we realize our hunger for the Lord or our different needs.
That's a great idea. And that could include something very simple as making sure that you check with your parish about when their reconciliation service is, so you can experience the sacrament of reconciliation. Those are great things.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, yes.
Well, our guest today has been Sister Audrey Frances Moran, an Oblate Sister of St. Francis de Sales, who is a teacher at Immaculate Heart of Mary in Towson. Thank you so much for being with us. This is a great conversation.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your kindness. And definitely, I do enjoy, I get more of the emails and keeping up with some of the local news that way. It's just really great. Super helpful.
Good to know. Thank you so much. Well, after the break, we're going to talk with Michael McGrew about his new illustrated children's book about jolly old St. Nick. This is Chris Gunty, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio. Join us right after the break.
I have been a school sister of Notre Dame for 72 years.
Most senior Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests serve for years with little pay.
I always taught the primary grades, and I loved it.
Today, hundreds of religious communities lack retirement funds. Your gift to the Retirement Fund for Religious helps provide medications and care. Please give to those who have given a lifetime.
Thank you, and God bless you 100-fold.
Donate at your local parish.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. The violence is organized, systematic, and serves a chilling purpose. Women and girls in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, some as young as 6 months old, endure what Dr. Dennis McQuaggy described as extreme sexual violence, their bodies used as weapons in a war fueled by the world's insatiable demand for minerals. Quote, "People of the Congo suffer. The demand for these minerals has turned our homeland into a battlefield," McQuaggy told a crowd gathered November 19th at Loyola University Maryland's McGuire Hall in Baltimore. He concluded, "Women's bodies are used as weapons of war." The 2018 Nobel Peace Prize winner and renowned gynecologic surgeon didn't mince words about the connection between the technology in everyday devices and the suffering in his homeland. The minerals needed for artificial intelligence, smartphones, computers, electric cars, and medical devices come from Congolese soil, and the cost is measured in human devastation. McQuaggy, who met with Pope Francis in 2021, has faced death threats for his outspoken work for justice and accountability regarding war crimes. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. A stakeholder and next owner of the Chicago White Sox baseball team said Pope Leo XIV told him that he'd love to throw out a season-opening first pitch in the future, schedule permitting. Pope Leo's favorite sports team is the White Sox, as much has been made of his being a huge fan of the Chicago Southsiders. He grew up as a diehard Sox fan in Chicago's south suburb of Dalton. Justin Ishbia, owner of a private equity firm and co-owner of the team, told several major news outlets he met the Pope outside St. Peter's Basilica at his general audience November 19th and shared with him his vision for the future of the White Sox. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
We're back on Catholic Review Radio, and we're getting ready for the Advent and Christmas seasons. Our guest for this part of the program is Mike McGrew, author of The Boy Who Would Be Santa. Mike McGrew is a retired school psychologist, counselor, and teacher. He received his doctorate in school psychology at the University of Maryland. Mike has worked in Virginia, Maryland, and Germany, but mostly in Carroll County, where he was a parishioner at St. Joseph's in Eldersburg, Maryland. He worked primarily in alternative and special education programs with children and teens who faced emotional and behavioral challenges. Mike and his wife, Monica, a former hospice and palliative care nurse, retired on Kent Island, Maryland. His illustrated children's book, The Boy Who Would Be Santa, was released this year. It's illustrated by Kim Merritt and published by Karis Publishing. Welcome to Catholic Review Radio, Mike.
Happy to be here.
So I understand you played St. Nicholas at Christmas markets in Germany and Maryland years ago. How did that shape your understanding of the man who was sometimes known as the boy bishop?
Well, my family and I lived in Germany for 4.5 years in the early 90s, and we practiced the St. Nicholas celebrations that were popular there. And when we returned to Maryland and lived in Westminster and went to St. Joe's, we participated in the alternative Christmas market there. And at the alternative Christmas market, I played the role of St. Nicholas. And we, at this alternative Christmas market, which was meant for charities nationally, locally, internationally, I explained the history of St. Nicholas and would pass out gold coins. But I was very surprised by how many children and parents did not make the connection between St. Nicholas and St. Nick. And many did not really understand that Santa meant saint. So I became that's been a mission of mine for the last 30 years to really focus on spreading the word about the evolution of St. Nicholas into our Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about the way that he's known in other cultures as Sinterklaas, Père Noël, those kinds of things. Sinterklaas is probably the closest thing that brings us that kind of shortened Santa Claus, also that we go from there, that shortened name. What kinds of things did you learn about St. Nicholas during your research that surprised maybe even you?
Well, I did not know that he was from Turkey in the He was born in the year 270 in the Christian era, and he was orphaned after his rich parents' death. He eventually gave his portion of their estate to kids, orphans, and he became known as the boy bishop, which was something that surprised me. It also surprised me that there's historical record of him being imprisoned by Diocletian, the emperor, and being freed by Constantine when Constantine became a Christian. In fact, he actually attended the Council of Nicaea in 325. The other things that surprised me is he's a patron saint of so many groups. He's a patron saint of unwed mothers, children, fishermen, prisoners, merchants, travelers, and he's also the patron saint of Russia and Greece.
Interesting. That's cool. So the Feast of St. Nicholas is coming up December 6th. When I was a kid, we didn't have a fireplace in our house, so we had no mantle. So mom and dad would take two chairs, and we would put a broomstick across them, and we would hang our stockings on the broomstick, and then St. Nick would bring us the little snackies and fruits and things like that in our stockings. How is that Feast of St. Nicholas distinct from Santa Claus coming at Christmas?
Well, St. Nicholas Day is December 6th.
Right.
And December 6th is when St. Nicholas died. So it's more of a remembrance of St. Nicholas as a saint. And he's remembered primarily in the old days by kids putting their shoes out, like long ago, when they would be filled with coins and candy. You mentioned the stockings. That tradition developed from a legend about St. Nicholas, where he threw gold coins in young girls who were desperate, Their stockings were hung up, and he threw them through a side chimney, and they ended up in their stockings. Mm-hmm. So that's the roots of us hanging our stockings.
Or putting out shoes or all of those kinds of things.
Yeah. And in terms of being distinct from Christmas, in my mind, Christmas has become too secular, with Saint Nick not being understood as based on a real person, mm-hmm. and many people not remembering the religious aspects of Saint Nicholas's gift giving, and that we're celebrating Christ's birth.
So how do we get from the Saint Nicholas of Turkey and all these centuries ago, who would have worn probably a mitre in that, to the current vision of jolly old Saint Nick that we, you know, that we saw in, was it Clement Moore's, you know, poem, you know, The Night Before Christmas? How does that all happen?
Well, from my research, Dutch children, you mentioned Sinterklaas earlier, mm-hmm. Dutch children excitedly spoke their name for St. Nicholas, Sinterklaas, 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 and that quickly morphed into Santa Claus in the United States. And as you know, probably, St. Nicholas was pictured more as a tall, thin, solemn person in the 1800s. And that poem you referred to by Clement Moore, it's alleged, often attributed to him, but it's really an anonymous poem, describes him as heavier, red-nosed, and jolly. And I think it's a natural that, you know, a sleigh and a reindeer in colder weather replace St. Nicholas's horse, and that he dressed a little bit heavier. Mm-hmm. And I think candy canes now are the reminder of his crozier.
Okay. Yeah, that all makes sense. You know, I mean, it, certainly, you know, bishops sometimes wear red vestments, especially on solemn feast days. So those red vestments could have become Santa's red suit from that perspective. What do you hope that children and adults will get from your illustrated book, The Boy Who Would Be Santa?
Well, the message I'm hoping for everyone to receive is that St. Nicholas represents kindness, not just at Christmas, but all through the years. And I think that it all, the other message is that Santa means saint, and that Santa Claus it has roots in a real person from long ago, and that he's celebrated in different ways across the world, and that's a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. How was it to work with an illustrator on this concept? You had this idea of a story and you want to bring it to life. How do you work with an illustrator to make that happen?
I interviewed a number of people online, and I came up. Kim Merritt was fantastic. She has illustrated 20 Christian picture books, and she really wanted me to give her as much information for each illustration as possible. So we had very close communication, very pleasant communication, but it certainly did take a while for the final product to be approved by both of us, and then approved by my publisher, Karis Publishing.
Mm-hmm. When you look back on your own youth and days of celebrating the Feast of St. Nicholas in Germany and here in the U.S., is there one gift or one thing that stands out that is a great memory of that for you?
One gift from when I was a child? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Especially on St. Nick's Day.
On St. Nicholas Day, I think the gold coins, the gold chocolate coins stand out to me. And the fact that we really rejoiced getting a bunch of candy and a lesson at the same time.
That's a good point. Excellent point. Well, the important question here, of course, as we prepare for St. Nicholas Day, is where can people get the book, The Boy Who Would Be Santa?
Well, it's out on Amazon, and it has great reviews, all 5-star reviews so far there. Barnes & Noble is carrying that in their online store. Karis Publishing sells it separately, And I'm visiting a number of parishes in the D.C. Baltimore area. In fact, I'm going back to St. Joe's in Eldersburg on St. Nicholas Day. And we'll be doing a presentation on the book and selling the book to benefit St. Joseph's. And then later on, the Catholic grade school that I was educated in, St. Jane de Chanel in Bethesda, and Little Flower School and Our Lady of Mercy. So I'm going to have a packed pre-Christmas schedule.
There you go. Maybe you need a sleigh to help you get around.
And a helper.
Yeah, that's right.
My wife is serving that role very well so far.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Mike, for being with us today. We've been talking with Mike McGrew, author of the new book, The Boy Who Would Be Santa. It's illustrated, especially for children, but hey, adults can find it fun too. Thanks for being with us today, Mike.
I appreciate you asking me.
We also thank our first segment guest, Oblate Sister of St. Francis de Sales, Audrey Frances Moran, for her advice and take on Advent. For all of our listeners out there, have a blessed Advent. This is Chris Gunty, and you've been listening to Catholic Review Radio. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and tune in next week.
I have been a school sister of Notre Dame for 72 years.
Most senior Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests serve for years with little pay.
I always taught the primary grades, and I loved it.
Today, hundreds of religious communities lack retirement funds. Your gift to the Retirement Fund for Religious helps provide medications and care. Please give to those who have given a lifetime.
Thank you, and God bless you 100-fold.
Donate at your local parish.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area, and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.